John chapter 10 and verse 9 says this, I am the door.
Yes.
If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Father, thank you for the reading of your word, that it would just get into our hearts and affect change in our lives and destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so far we've been ministering on the subject of seeing the Father through the lens of this, I call it the Magnificent Seven. The Magnificent Seven. These are the seven I Am statements that Jesus made in John's Gospel. Respectively, they are, he said in John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. Yeah. And just 2 weeks ago, that's what we brought to you. I am the bread of life. We talked about how bread was sustenance. Bread was provision. Bread was needed for us to survive, but bread is also symbolic of the Word of God, because that was when Jesus rebuked the enemy when he was in the wilderness. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So bread and the Word were very synonymous. We also saw last week that Jesus said in John 8:12 that he said, I am the light of the world. And he said to them, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So today we're going to go ahead and pick up in John 10 and verse 9, as we just read, when Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus has been using, he's been using some illustrations. And so I like to try to use illustrations when I can. Okay. So if you see this, what is this? Anybody out there?
Door.
It's a door, right? And I just, as a kid, I always found it really interesting. Why in the world would Jesus say he was the door? What? And then I found out, as I did more and more study, I found out that doors represent so much that in the Bible, doors represent new beginnings. Doors represent a place of provision. Doors represent a closing of one chapter and an opening of a new. And here Jesus says that he is the door.
Yeah.
He says he's the door. And as I was meditating on these truths, because again, we're going to go through all the seven I Am statements and why they're important to us. And as I was meditating on this, I said, God, I know why it's important for bread, because I eat bread. But I need to know more. How does this apply to my life, right? Mm-hmm. So now turn to your neighbor and say, get ready.
Get ready.
God's going to reveal some things to you. Amen. Amen. So a door is the access point.
Yes.
It is the beginning point. So Jesus was basically saying, I'm the beginning point. Doesn't that almost sound a little bit like in the book of Revelation when he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. I am the Alpha. I am the beginning point. Mm-hmm. I'm the beginning point. Where you're going to begin your walk of salvation. And I believe I'm probably speaking to just believers that are here presently, but there may be some that are watching online that may not be. Maybe they've not embraced a relationship with Jesus Christ. But the starting point is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He is the starting point.
Yep.
And so when we're looking at this, we see that it doors are access. They're access to him and all the things that God has for him. Has for us. And as I was looking at that, I started thinking about it, meditating on it, that he basically was telling us that regardless of our station in life, he is the beginning point. Regardless of whether we received Christ as a child, a teenager, or an older person. Regardless of when that happened in our lives, that was the starting point. It started for me when I walked down the aisle at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Now, I walked the aisle twice in my story. I walked the aisle as an 8-year-old, and then I walked the aisle again as a 15-year-old. When I was 15, I actually meant it. When I was 8, I was doing it because my friends did it, and it just seemed like the good thing to do. So when it became real to me, when salvation became real to me, that's when I walked through the door. I walked through the door. And so regardless of your station in life, it could be your culture, your race, your nationality, even sin, salvation is found in none other. He is the beginning point. And, you know, it's when we look at doors, we also have to be reminded that it's an understanding of something new. So when we walk through, something is new on the other side. Something's new on the other side. And so today is actually Pentecost Sunday. And it was in my study, I actually started to see a connection between Pentecost Sunday and these sayings of Jesus. Specifically, I'm gonna point out to you that when it comes to the feasts of Israel, Pentecost is that. It's a feast that the children of Israel would celebrate. And oftentimes, we as believers, if you didn't grow up Jewish, a lot of times we don't make the Jewish connection. We don't follow the Jewish calendar, typically, as Gentiles. We don't really understand the feasts. We just know, oh, they're having another one of those. I grew up in South Florida. I had Jewish friends. And it'd be like, are we going to do something this weekend? It's like, no, I'm going to temple this weekend. And it's one of those. And so I think sometimes we do that. And as Christians, we miss the connection that it is to our faith. That there is an amazing symbolic connection that is actually rooted all the way back. God doesn't do anything by accident. And this last week, I know Brother Adam was able to attend the prayer conferences that we advertised that was over in Connecticut. And one of the speakers was Reverend Joe Morris. He's a specialist on end times. And he talked about how close we are to the end. And he began to bring modern things that you're seeing in the news and some obscure things that you may not have seen in the news and where it is found in Scripture. And mind-blowing. Am I right, Brother Adam? It was just, we were like, wow. It was just, and it was like, you know, he just was showing through the Scripture how close we are to the return of Jesus. And it shouldn't scare any of us. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Jesus said, when you see all these things, look up, your redemption draws nigh. There should be a sense of joy that starts to come, not a sense of terror. Not a sense of dread, but a sense of joy. And so as I was just meditating on this in preparation for today, I recognized that the feasts of Israel, and I was really, really challenged to study this this last week, to really, really dive in. And then I saw the connection to the Magnificent Seven, and why is it important for us to know some of these things? And then I realized, wait a second, God doesn't do a thing by accident. Nothing is by accident. When he would tell the children of Israel, oh, there's X number of days you're going to be in captivity. Nothing by accident. Nothing by accident. And then we see the feasts that are listed there in Leviticus chapter 23. The feasts are listed that Israel was supposed to observe, and the Feast of Pentecost. Here we're most of the time on Pentecost Sunday. I take you right to Acts chapter 2. We're going to get there, but what I want you to see is, first of all, I want you to look at this through the lens. Through the lens, what are we doing? We want to know our Heavenly Father better, right? Because our goal at this church is that you to know God. you to know God the Father and to know Him more intimately. Jesus points us to the Father. Jesus is always telling us what the Father is telling us, right? He came to reveal God's heart to us. So everything you see Jesus doing, it's to reveal God's heart for us, for the believer. And as I was just going through some of these particular feasts, you know, the Feast of Pentecost is mentioned in Leviticus 23:16, and it is the seventh Sabbath, in other words, 50 days. That's what Pentecost means in Greek. Pentecost means five, and it's the seventh Sabbath after Passover. So it's the seventh Sabbath. And so I wanted to find out that here we are, Jesus said, and 2 weeks ago I brought to you, he said, what did he say? He said, I am the bread of life, right? I am the bread of life. And so we kind of touched on that. But have you ever noticed that Jesus was born in a city called Bethlehem? The word Bethlehem in the Hebrew language means house of bread. Is that incredible? That should build your faith. That should just like bring such like, wow, confidence. God doesn't do anything by accident. Jesus was born in the city of David, Bethlehem, house of bread. And then later on, he tells us, I am the bread of life.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Well, then you find out that, okay, so the feast, I thought, okay, so I wanted to find out, what is the feast of Pentecost? What do they do? What do they do? When does it occur? When does it occur? Well, as I said, it occurs about 50 days after Passover. Well, a lot of times we Gentiles, when we hear about Passover, we kind of just look at it as one thing. It's not. And it's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. But there's really three feasts that happen very quickly. They're all lumped in together as Passover often in our modern culture, our modern society. But there was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And Jesus showed us that when he took the Last Supper. And they would take, and remember when I shared with you, Jesus said, I was the bread of life. I held up to you a piece of matzah bread that was striped and pierced. Sound familiar? He was beaten beyond recognition. Striped, pierced. And then we know what Peter said. Peter said that by his stripes, he was echoing Isaiah 53, by his stripes, we are healed. So why am I telling you all this? Well, because these things have import to our lives as believers. You can't walk away and say that doesn't matter to me. It does matter. And when we realize that Pentecost was also known as Shavuot, and it's an offering of grain and bread. And they would start, the priests would take two loaves of bread. Maybe somebody could hold my mic. Because I realize I can't do this. They would hold two loaves of bread. There's the mic there, if you can pull up me.
Hold it for you.
No, the mic's right there. There we go. The mic. There we go. Yep, hold it for me. So the priests would then take two loaves of bread. This is mentioned in Leviticus. And the two loaves, I thought, well, Lord, what do the two loaves represent? And in my study, I found out that they represented the Old Covenant and the New Covenant.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
They represented the Jewish people and the Gentiles. Wow.
Wow.
And here, they've been doing this for thousands of years. It happens 50 days after the first three celebrations, which are the Feast of Leavened Bread, and then we also have the Feast of First Fruits. And then we go into Pentecost soon after that. And so what we see in this is that God is no respecter of persons, and his plan of salvation was for all mankind. And what they would do is they would do a wave offering. So what's a wave offering? You might have been in a Pentecostal church one time, and they said, let's everybody do a wave offering. And somebody would just raise their hands up. Anybody been in a service like that? Mm-hmm. I have, yeah. And I always thought, well, they're just kind of maybe making a modernized version of what a wave offering is, right? But in reality, if you study this, the priest literally would take two loaves of bread. They were a lot bigger than this, by the way. They weighed about 15 pounds each. These loaves of bread do not weigh that much. Trust me. If they were 30 pounds of bread that I was holding, that would be a lot. Okay? They were the finest of finest flour, and they had leaven in it. Most of the festivals didn't have leaven. Leaven always represented sin. But this was pointing to the future. Come on, people. Yeah. Where sin was not a problem.
That's right.
This was always pointing to the future, yes, of that God would have not just one people, mm-hmm, but he would have two.
Yeah.
All right. And in the New Testament, we see in Ephesians that the two become one. The dividing wall of hostility, yes, comes down. Yeah. We see what the Apostle Paul said when he said there is no difference between Greek nor Jew, right? Right? But the same Lord all in all. He's pointing to the new covenant. Mm-hmm. So the priest would take the bread, the 30 pounds worth of bread, and they would wave it before the Lord in an offering of thanksgiving. And they would wave it in every single direction, thanking God for the harvest and praying that there would be another good year of harvest. And that the rain would continue to fall and bless. Thank you. Why did I do that? Because I want you to see that God doesn't do anything by accident.
That's right.
So everything that is in the Word of God is there for a purpose for us as believers. So what do we get out of this? Well, we get out of the fact that obedience to what God is telling us is very important. When he tells us certain days, or when he's, it's important to note because he's on a timeline.
Yeah.
Now, I've not ministered other than touching on rapture and things of that nature in the 20 plus years I've been pastor here. But I believe that we are at a time right now where God's going to start opening up some things, and we need to be aware of the signs, mm-hmm, of the times. And I was so convicted and stirred by Reverend Joe Morris's ministry, because it's important, not so that we can scare people into the kingdom, but so that we can be equipped and ready for the harvest. What do we believe in God for by the end of the year in this church?
Double.
Double our attendance, and we're believing God for a full house and a building. Amen?
Amen.
So when I think of these things, I start to get excited. When I pray about these things, I get excited. I actually walked through a building this week. Why? I'm looking. I'm on the look.
Yes.
I'm saying, okay, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? You say, oh, Pastor, are we ready to buy a building right this second? Yes, in Jesus' name.
Yes, that's right.
Because if God opens up that door, we're going to do it.
Amen.
So what are we, why? Why? Because there's a harvest of people.
Yes. Yep.
There's a harvest of people. Mm-hmm. Everything God does, he does for a purpose. Everything. Everything he does. Mm-hmm. So the Jewish feast calendar is rich with symbolism. Passover was the first one. The feast, I missed one. The Feast of Weeks is actually the same thing as Pentecost. But what we see that God has specific purpose in mind with all of these things. Now, I find it interesting that the Feast of Pentecost was the thanking for the harvest, right? It was also symbolic of the giving of the law. It was the start of the law, and it was the start of the church. Two loaves, old covenant, new covenant. I am the door, old covenant, new covenant. When you walk through the door, you've left the old covenant, my works-based religion, that I could never be good enough, to a life in Christ that his mercy endures forever. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Do you get that?
Yes.
So that you can be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you walk through that door, the door of Christ, when you gave your heart to Christ, you walked through, you left an old man behind, and you embraced a new life with Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You left the old to embrace the new. The door, when Jesus said, I am the door, he's basically saying there is a new day. There's a new covenant. He said that the night he was betrayed. This cup is the covenant. This is the table, the new covenant. The blood that is spilled, it's my blood poured out for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we see there's symbolic things going on, and God doesn't do anything by accident. It was the Feast of Pentecost marked the giving of Torah. Now we know from reading the Old Testament that Moses went up on the mountain, right? Talked to God face to face. Moses would talk to God face to face, to the point that he was in the presence of God, he would glow. They had to put a veil over him. He'd get in the presence of God. Oh, church, would we get so full of the Holy Ghost that people would sense you've been with God? It's possible, but it's up to you. It's up to you what you do. So how do these things affect you? I am the bread of life. Well, he's your provision. He's everything you need. Everything you need is in Christ. Everything you need is in Christ. He's your healing. He's your provision. He is everything you need. He's your peace. And he's light. When you feel like I don't know what to do next, he is light. And darkness can never overtake light. And he's the door. When you walked through that door, that's where God was able to just embrace you with his love and give you a brand new life, a brand new life. I don't know about you, but I felt so different when I walked away. When I walked away from my old life and walked into the things of God, it changed my life. It changed my life. And when I think about specifically today, how Pentecost has changed my life. Amen. Getting filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Speaking with other tongues. Beginning to exercise that gift. Not because I felt my hair stand on the back of my neck, or I was in a service and I just kind of felt the Spirit. It wasn't just when I felt the Spirit. I realized that I was walking around carrying God on the inside.
Yes.
When I was walking around, and it emboldened me to the point it actually changed the trajectory of my life. It changed everything about me. I was much more of an introvert, if you can believe that, than I am now. Much more of an introvert. Only had a few friends, those kind of things. I'm telling you, it changed my destiny when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It made me bold. Now, sometimes I did some not so smart things in my boldness. You know, I don't advise that you tell your best friends or your teachers they're going to hell. It's not always the best plan to immediately just kind of be that blunt. You know, we want to go fishing for men. We don't want to go, you know, destroying relationships and just, you know, sending people off to hell. You know, it's not your job to do that. Okay. All right. And so one of the things that happened with me is when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, it transformed me and caused me to be bold. You know, doors, symbolically speaking, are a place of protection. They're a place of boldness. They're a place that provides comfort, and so that we can go in and out of God's protection. We can actually, we can go out and do what we're supposed to do and always come back. Mm-hmm. Always come back. And I'm not talking about leaving God for sin. I'm talking about you go live your life and you always just come back to the Father. Always come back to the Father. Always come back to the Father. And so we see that doors, they provided refuge. They provide, when you're in that place of refuge, there's guidance, there's provision. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I was able to hear God's voice tell me and prompt me to do certain things. And sometimes I only got one little part of it. Mm-hmm. One little part of it, and I'd step out. And that still happens sometimes. When you recognize the voice of God to do something, you may not have all the details. Don't sweat it. If you know it's His voice, step out in what you do know, and the rest will come. Pastor Christine illustrated that perfectly today. Mm-hmm. What did she do? She got one little, you know, prompting, pick up the piece of paper. Mm-hmm. That's pretty small. Yeah. And if you're not listening, you'll blow right by that. Am I right? If you're not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you'll blow by these little opportunities and you wonder why your life is not moving forward the way it should. Because it's the little things. It's the little things. I've been asking God, show me the little things that I've missed. Because I know that you want me further down the road than I am. I'm just being transparent with you. So I'm saying, okay, God, what are those little things that I missed? Every one of us has a blind spot where we don't see what God sees. And God's saying, hey, I've been dealing with you to change that. He's not mad at you, but He's been dealing with you. It's the little thing. It's so that He can give you the bigger thing.
Amen.
So He can open up the door and speak to you the rest of the plan. But if He can't trust you with picking up the piece of paper,
come on.
Yes, that's it.
How can He trust you with the miracle, the sign, the wonder, right? So all of us need to get better at this so that we hear that prompting. That we, oh, okay, God. Okay, God. The Lord was dealing with me to do something pretty specific this week, and I did it. I did it. I had a little, you know, anybody in here ever have that? Mm-hmm. You're like, are you sure, God? I don't want them to think that I'm weird. Isn't that one of our first things, self-conscious? Mm-hmm. I don't want them to think I'm weird. He told me to actually do something very specific. And when I did it, it was almost like I opened up something else in me so that He could speak to me clearer,
yes.
Clearer. You want to get clear in here? Anybody?
Yes.
Come on. Are you here?
Yes.
If you're watching online, you want to get clearer hearing Him?
Yes.
There's something here for all of us.
Yes.
Every last one of us, no matter how long you've walked with God, it doesn't matter. So, again, we see in the book of Acts, chapter 2, we're going to go ahead and go there now, Acts chapter 2, and we're going to, you know, kind of finish this up today, okay? And here's the thing. God is speaking to His church. He's getting us ready. And there are opportunities for us. There are opportunities for us to walk into. I believe there is provision for us to walk into. There's witty ideas for us to walk into. If you don't act on them, they will never open up what was supposed to open up for you. So we have to give God, I've said this since we started this church, we have to give God something to work with. If you're sitting around waiting for God to do it all, he's not going to do it all. He cooperates with us. The Holy Ghost is the helper. He's not the doer. No, really. And I'm going to say it again. The Holy Spirit was known as the helper, not the doer. He's not the doer. You're the doer. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a doer. I'm a doer of the word. See, if you're a doer of the word, not just a hearer, right? See, I think even when it comes to being filled with the Holy Ghost, some people think that the Holy Ghost is going to come down, grab their tongue, and just start, and that's not what he's doing. He'll help you. But it says in Acts chapter 2, they spoke. In fact, we're going to go ahead and look at it. They spoke with other tongues. Hallelujah. And you see the result. You see that God added to the church. So we see in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. Right? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Who did the speaking?
They did.
Was the Holy Ghost speaking? No. The Holy Spirit came down on them, empowered them. That's what happened. And then verse 5, it says, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound occur, the multitude came together. They were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled and said to one another, are these not those aren't they Galileans? How is it that we each hear our own language in which we were born? Parthian and Mede and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them speaking our own tongues with wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. Wonderful works of God. What were they talking about? Well, apparently the Holy Ghost was helping them speak the oracles, the wonderful works of God, and they heard the goodness of God. They heard the gospel coming in their own language supernaturally. So you say, well, does that mean every time I speak in tongues, Pastor, does that mean that I'm speaking in another language? The Word of God tells us that there are languages of angels and of men. And that there is an unknown tongue that only God himself knows. So when we are speaking in other tongues, we're not speaking to men when we are praying in other tongues or lifting our voice in other tongues. We're speaking to God, praying mysteries out. And he many times will give you the interpretation of what you were praying for. Sometimes when it is a public gift of tongues, there is a message that needs to come forth. That message will come forth. It will be interpreted by an interpreter. I've been in meetings. There was one meeting that I was in where somebody's tongue started sounding like Chinese. And lo and behold, there was a Chinese person there. And they said, I just heard God speaking in my own language. Supernaturally. God is doing that all over the earth right now. He's doing that here. Right now, he's speaking to you. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to get full of the Holy Spirit. We're living in the last days. Perhaps the last of the last days, 2 Peter chapter 3. We're living in the last of the last days. The last of the last days. Mm-hmm. There's not, we don't have much time left. We should be about our Father's business and see what happens. Peter, verse 14, he says this. He stood up with the 11 and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you, heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Hallelujah. So God doesn't do anything by accident. So when he says, Joel chapter 2, that Peter is essentially quoting, and it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservants and on my men servants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." We are in the church age. When Jesus said, "I am the door," he was essentially saying, when you walk through me, you're in a different age. You are now in the church age. You are no longer under the law. You are now under grace. And because of what Jesus came to do, we can live differently because we're under grace. But that doesn't give us a license to sin. What that does is give us even much more grace. That's God's power, his passion, his ability to do inside of us what we can't do ourselves. So God gives us that ability. So here we are, we're looking at the seven magnificent sayings of Jesus. "I am the bread of life." Whatever you need today, whatever, if you're watching online, whatever it is you need, he's your bread, he's your provision, he's your sustenance, he's your healing. In fact, Jesus, when he was healing the Syrophoenician woman's daughter, her response in faith was, he said, should I give the children's bread to dogs, which is what those folks were called in that day. Now, the woman could have stayed offended, but you know what? She didn't get offended. She wasn't going to be offended. You know why? Because when your heart is, "I just want all of God," you're not going to be hard. And Jesus was not cutting her down. He was not disparaging her. Jesus was not disparaging her ethnicity or her race. He was testing her because he knew what was in her heart and what came out of her mouth to show those that were around the room, that God was about all people. And when she said yes, "But even the dogs eat the crumbs." So her faith was, if I could just get a crumb. And Jesus said, "You can have the whole loaf. Because your daughter's healed." When our heart is so established in God's love that we say, "I refuse to be offended. I refuse to get offended." Because, listen, we're at a point where there's so much work to do, so much bridge building to do, so much showing God's love in this earth. We've got to watch ourselves. We cannot afford to cut off God's blessings in our lives. Because I've often said that the definition of offense is the blessings cut off when you're offended. The blessings cut off. The power gets pulled when you're offended. God will let you. Nobody's going to lose their salvation over it. But unless we walk in that love and walk in that forgiveness, there is great power available to us. Church, when we are in Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, people are going to sense that something's on you. And it's not something, it's someone. It's the Holy Ghost on you, not just in you, but on you. And that's where miracles happen. We step out in faith when we get those glimpses. We step out in faith. And so, again, whatever it is you need, I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. If there's darkness going on around you in your life, in your, turn on the light. Amen. Because darkness cannot overtake the light. Right. If you need a new start, walk through the door. Mm-hmm. Realize that if you've already made that choice for Jesus, that your old life is shut. That door is slammed behind you, and you are now in Christ. You've left old covenant to walk into new covenant. You have left the old to embrace the new. And I'm telling you, when we embrace these things, when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, when we stay connected with God, He will open up opportunities for you that you just didn't even dream. And you're like, how did this happen? It's because you took the small step. You heard the still small voice. You heard him whisper that prompting that said, pick up the piece of paper. Because next time it's going to be bigger. Next time it's not going to just... Now, he might still do those little things to keep you sharp. He might still do those little things. I've walked into men's rooms before and they're a mess. I don't know what it is about men's room. I have a pet peeve about them. But... I just do. And it's like, sometimes I walk into this one and I say, why doesn't anybody flush urinals? It is one of my big pet peeves. I just don't understand it. It's like there's a handle there and we just push down on it. And that's because these don't have the automatic ones. When we get our new building, it's going to have automatic ones in Jesus' name, because I can't handle going into a men's pee-pee room. Flush it. Sorry.
Okay.
I've been wanting to put a sign over in there that says, please flush in 5 different languages.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. It's like, how hard could that be? Anyway, all right.
Okay.
All right, I'm sorry. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. No. All right, well, praise God. I'm digressing. It's time to close. All right, the power of the Holy Ghost is available to you. And when you walk through the door, Jesus said, I'm the door. Next week, we're going to talk about, he said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. We're going to talk about that. What does that mean to be the good shepherd? There's some good things God has for you. Some good things. When he says, I'm the good shepherd. He's good all the time. Isn't he? Good all the time. Hallelujah. Well, amen. Amen. So he's the door. He's the beginning point. He's the starting point. So this week, how does that affect your life? Well, when you walk through the door, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're protected. When you walk through the door, you know that you're a part of a company of people. You're a part of, when he says, I am the door, he didn't just want one person to come through that door.
Amen.
Right? That's why we have churches, so that we gather together and we draw strength one from another.
Yeah.
That's why we have churches.
Because
we need the power of the Holy Ghost to do the assignments that God has for us. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, thank you for inspiring us. Thank you, Lord God, for speaking through us. Lord, that you would be glorified. God, I pray if there be anybody, either in this church or watching, that needs to know you. You're so good. You're so good. And the time is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. As each day goes by, Father, I pray that you would send forth your laborers into the harvest field. God, that people would pick up those assignments, those things that they left behind when they were younger. They pick up those assignments. They walk through the door of a change in their life. They walk through that door. And Father, I pray that your goodness, your mercy, and your love would just follow them all the days of their life. In the name of Jesus. If that's you and you need to either recommit your life to Christ or you need to come to Christ for the first time, We're going to pray a prayer. If you're watching online, you can pray with us. If you're here in this place and you want to recommit your life to Christ, or you want to give your life to Christ, just raise up your hand. Raise up your hand. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Is there anybody at all? Praise God. Let's just pray this simple prayer out loud. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is who he said he is. That he died for my sins. That he was raised from the dead. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior. I receive his forgiveness. So that I can live a new life in the name of Jesus. And because we don't want you to go away without the power of God, if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, we're just going to do this at the same time. Just say this. Say, Father God, fill me to overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. I receive everything you have for me to be filled. To speak with other tongues, to minister goodness out of my mouth to you, so that you can bring it back to me and know what I've prayed for. In Jesus' name, fill me now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you wanted to pray that prayer, you just pray a simple prayer right now. God will fill you. He will meet you. You can be born again by the Spirit of God. If that's you, let us know that that is you. I can pray with you. Message us on the Facebook Messenger app. We can send you some things to help you in your walk with God. If you need prayer, you're physically in this place right now. I'll meet you right over here. And I just want to pray for any individuals that need special prayer. You need somebody to just minister to you healing, or you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the day of Pentecost. Let's take everything that God has for us. Let's not walk away needing something from the Lord. Amen. Just come on. Come on down as we close the service out. We're just going to have a time right up here. There'll be no camera, nothing to embarrass you right now. And so let's stand. Let's have our sending out verse. And then we're just going to be available right over here just to pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's say it. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you.
Amen.